Welcome to Raising Connections. Today, we'll be making connections between the California state flower, the poppy, land use, funding for parks and recreation, and agritourism. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. Welcome. On Monday, I was able to take a trip to Southern California. I flew into Los Angeles and then took a car and started driving south to my destination in the Lake Elsinore region. And boy, did I have a lot to learn. Now, I'll preface this with, I often, maybe every 3 to 5 years, take a trip to Southern California for either business, probably a little more often for business, so maybe every 1 to 2 years, or for family visits in extended family that live in that area. The first time I went to Southern California, I was a young woman, had never been to California, let alone Southern California. It was dry, it was brown, and all the yards were very lush or plastic. I was so surprised that turf was a thing. I only thought that that happened in AstroTurf. You remember, I was in my early 20s at that point, and AstroTurf was still a thing. What a learning experience, because in my mind, I had always thought, being a farmer, being a Midwesterner, being in the East Coast, that California is a big agricultural state. Of course, everything's green and lush and wonderful. And isn't that what I saw in Little House on the Prairie and MASH, where these movies and TV shows were filmed? Boy, did I get an awakening. It was brown. It was July. And then I started really paying attention, and that and the wildfires started making more sense to me. And, you know, as we all grow up, things start making sense differently. The more you know, the more your thought patterns change, which is why we do Raising Connections. I went this time, got in the car, and I'm driving down. It is green and lush. I've been to California in March, when it is normally green. But it was really green and lush and beautiful. And the mountains, if they weren't snow-capped, they were beautiful green. And I thought the stuff I was seeing on those mountains was dirt or clay or perhaps a fungus of some sort. You gotta remember, by training, I'm a microbiologist, and orange can mean particular types of fungus. And then I got to looking, and I heard in the back of my mind, there they are! They are the California poppies in bright bloom, and this weather with the rainy, it was kind of drizzling rain in Southern California, and about 40 degrees, not Southern California weather, that made the poppies bloom. And the fields of gold, as the poppies are called, were just covering the mountains on my way down, driving from LA to the Lake Elsinore region going towards San Diego. It was stunning. And the patterns, because I like to pick up patterns, the patterns of these orange waves coming down the mountains were really something that caught my attention. I've always heard about this, and it was one of the reasons that I went to visit at this time, was to see the flowers. The flowers and this orange, they were so, we were far enough away that it just looked like waves of orange, as if somebody had taken a watercolor in bright orange and gone in rivers in between the green of the deep green of these beautiful mountains. Have you got the picture in your mind yet? One of the things that impressed me so much was the pattern of the flowers. The mountains, they have these ups and downs, the valleys, right? And the flowers oftentimes were in the crotch of those mountains, or they were coming down. They almost looked like rivers running downhill. And it really left an impression on me. I'll talk about how that is and why it happens, and there's actually a reason for it. The other thing that really impressed me was, I'm driving down, paying attention, traffic after all. The traffic in Southern California versus the traffic in Maryland, I found to be kind of similar. You know, the first time I went to California, coming from the Indiana-Pennsylvania area, not Indiana-Pennsylvania, but Indiana the state and the Pennsylvania state having been my experience, I thought the Southern California traffic was really wild. Having lived in the DC metro area, not so wild anymore, it's pretty normal. One side of the road, the mountains on one side, were beautiful green, shades of green that just probably 12 different shades of green. The other side had the orange, and it made me wonder, why the heck does one side not have orange poppies and the other side does? And that pattern of the poppies in there. So let's back up just a little bit. The California state flower is the poppy, commonly known as fields of gold, and they only bloom when the weather conditions are really right. They are a native plant to California. They have incredibly long, deep roots, and they live in the mountain areas where it's arid and dry, and they put these huge roots down into the soil, down into the, through the rocks, into the soil, so they get the nutrients that they need. The name of these is Eschicoli California. And in 1903, the governor signed into effect the California poppy, which is native, as the state flower. There was a big debate about that, and we can put that information out there. There were three other runners. All of them, ironically, lilies or poppies. Originally, the California poppy was used as a mild sedative by native peoples, and we're going to get into that because there are some connections there. The thing I learned was the weather in California has tremendously affected these blooms. 2019 was the first time that these blooms were just spectacular in recent history due to the arid conditions that have been popular. It's been very, very dry in Southern California. We've all heard about the wildfires going on and how the wildfires and the effects of the wildfires and what's carried in the atmosphere affects the East Coast and our weather, along with many other things. But the effects in the smoke and the ash and all of that. So we all really understand the wildfires not only affect the flowers, but they also affect our weather. The Lake Elsinore area, that again, Southern California, LA to San Diego, that area is where we're talking about. There are, these do happen in other areas, but this is the area I'm talking about specifically. The weather has been rainy and wet. It makes Maryland winter, the strange winter we're having this year. Oftentimes we have been warmer in Maryland than they have been in California, which just blows my mind. It's been about 40 to 50 degrees in California and a little bit damp. This has been perfect for the poppies. The winters 2019, 2020, 21, 23, their poppies are blooming. What has this created? It's created a perfect storm. The weather has been a little off for California standards. People have been cooped up because of COVID restrictions and such. Things have been such that many people have opted to do personal activities and enrichment activities, mental health activities, which often involve getting out, getting into nature, doing a walk, get your physical activity in, make your mind work, make everything come together. We all have seen, I hope we've all seen, the positive effects that being out in open areas allows your mind to relax and have a refocus. People taking advantage of this and the rise of social media and that perfect picture. I have a few friends who don't call it Facebook. They call it fake book because you only put up on those pictures and in those captions what you want your outward facing self to look like, and the inward facing self doesn't exist there. So putting all these connections together, the parks in Southern California, the Lake Elsinore area, have really, I guess I'm picking on Lake Elsinore because that was my destination, but this has affected all of the parks in the southern area there. In 2019, something happened where the weather was good, the poppies were gorgeous, the field of golds were blooming, and they got trampled. And there were traffic backups, and there were snarls, and there were emergency situations where first responders could not get to people on trails or in traffic jams or in areas because of the number of people trying to see the poppies. And this perpetuated. It really got bad in 2019 and continued to perpetuate because it was open space. It was a place that people could go. Now you have COVID restrictions that we all know about that time period. And it was just this perfect storm of people in places trying to do good things and the parks getting overwhelmed, the highways getting overwhelmed. The attention that the poppies were bringing were just so much of a good thing. It turned out to be a not good thing. How do you deal with this? And it has brought forward a conversation about open spaces, parks, and reserves. When you go to River County Parks, which is a Riverside area, the Riverside County Regional Parks, and start looking at things, one of the things I found that was very interesting is on their website, they have done everything well. I'm not having an issue with that. Just information here. There are events calendars, how to contact them, how to explore the River County Parks, about us, and the homepage, and the Riverside County Parks Open Space District to camping, trails, historic sites, natural centers, and reserves. That's a heck of a mission for this park and many like it in the area to have. This isn't about this particular park. It's about an example of the region. When the trails for the poppies were overwhelmed by people, parking was overwhelmed. It created parking issues, people getting there. One of the things that make you go, did you know? We talked about the patterns of the poppies, the orange coming down the mountains. We're about ready to make a connection here. And we talked about the weather being just right. And it was kind of overcast and cloudy and a little bit damp and rainy, and then the sun comes out. And these poppies being so incredibly resilient in this really arid, dry area, and how do they exist? The poppies spread by seed. The seed are often picked up when water comes, and the seeds travel by wind or by water down the mountains, which makes these beautiful rivers of orange coming down the mountains, because that's how the seeds have spread. So when we talked about the watercolors of orange coming down the mountains in this beautiful pattern, it really does look like a water flow coming down the mountains, because that's how the seeds got there. And these plants aren't dumb. Mother Nature had a very specific thought on this. These flowers, they close at night. Some flowers will do this. Their bloom buds, they look like a bud. They wrap themselves up for the night. And one of the thoughts that I found many times expressed was the reason they do this is to protect their pollen from the wind, because it does get incredibly windy in some days up there. So they close at night, and when the sun comes out and it's more likely to be pollinated, they open their blooms. Smart design, which means the optimum time to get a picture with the poppies in full open bloom, which you would expect a poppy to be, is in the certain time periods when the sun is right and the temperature is good and the pollen is flowing and the traffic backs up and the people arrive. And it is just this onslaught of, let's get that perfect picture for Facebook. I want to see the poppies at their peak. If somebody's going to travel miles, so we take a look at this differently. If people are going to travel miles, of course they want to see what they want to see and how they want to see it. When we come back, let's talk about what's facing the parks, the agritourism, and how the poppy fits into this. Welcome back to Raising Connections. Today, we've been making connections between the California state flower, land use, funding for parks and recreation, and agritourism. When we took the break, we were talking about how the seeds of the poppy come down the mountain, what they look like in those rivers of orange, and the tourism, and that specific time window for those flowers to open, how we get everybody there, and what happened. I'm sure there were lots of meetings. So we have an issue where now we have so many people wanting to take advantage of the nature and be out in nature that it created royal havoc. What do you do? I'm sure the meetings around this were long and intense and filled with lots of emotion and hard thoughts. Let's take a look at this from the parks point of view. So we've talked about Lake Elsinore and River County Parks quite a bit, RIVCO Parks quite a bit. Let's go pick on somebody else right now. Antelope Valley, California, Poppy Reserve. It is a park. It's part of this area, and we're not picking on one park. We're using this as an example for the area. The park on its website says, Antelope Valley, California Poppy Reserve comes alive with the seasonal surprises of the Mojave Desert and grassland habitat. The duration and colors in the scenes and scents vary from year to year, and the wildflower season generally lasts mid-February through May, with a variety of wildflowers creating a mosaic of color that changes daily. Yes, 8 miles of trails through gently rolling hills and a paved section for wheelchair access make the park a wonderful place to hike and explore. Get away from the city and relax in the quietude of the countryside, with birds singing, hawks gliding, benches located along the trail. All of this goes to, and beautifully captured, I love the way that's written, beautifully captured to the mental benefits, the benefits of being out in nature. So the conversations around restricting the access to the poppy fields and the access to nature during this time had to be a difficult one. Many of the parks that I looked through their websites collect fees. This particular park was $10 a vehicle, $9 a vehicle with a senior on board, and $5 with a disabled discount card. Small buses and large buses had charges as well. This is not uncommon. Parks and Rec, and there's all kinds of things that we could go into that, but parks, recreational facilities, reserves do make small fees so that they can make funding happen for their reserves or their parks or their events. If you're going to close the park because there were so many people there, we couldn't get in to help them if there were accidents, if the fields were getting trampled, if it was costing more to repair the damage by the crowds on the trails than the ring collected by fees, I am sure there were a lot of meetings and a lot of discussion and emotion around this decision. Most of the websites at this point have a PoppyCam live feed, so that you can watch the poppy fields. sort of like the panda cam here at the National Zoo, so that you can watch the poppy fields on your laptop through the web, see what's going on, see the weather. You can see them at night. You can see them close up. You can see them open. It's beautiful. But many of the parks have closed. Most all parks at this point have closed their poppy fields just because of the hordes of crowds. All those wonderful things that nature is supposed to do for us and those events and the funds that would be raised from those crowds coming through is a heck of an economic impact on those parks. They have ways to get school groups in, and I'm not quite sure if that's happening. I did not find that easily. I want you to think about something else. If we are restricting people coming into these parks, what else is going on? So there are tours, and the tours are actually cheaper than the parking, believe it or not. So is that an economic impact where we want people to be there in small groups because that's what our facility and our nature facility can handle? Interesting thoughts. Stay on the trail only. This is something that you're seeing a lot in Southern California, and could we be seeing it in Maryland? Don't know yet. Stay on the trail. One, it's polite, it's courteous. It's what you're supposed to do. You are walking through someone, Mother Nature's area. You are not walking through trails of desire. You are not out there creating your own trail that your heart desires. Again, don't pick the wildflowers. Don't bring your dogs. A lot of times we talk about dogs and where to go and things to do on the radio and on the Raising Connections and Mariah Bell site. They're asking you not to bring your dogs, except for trained service animals, of course. Comfort animals are not trained service animals and not permitted. I thought that was very interesting to see there. Don't leave your pets in the car. They tell you what to do with your pets. But pets tend to go off trail, and this is not a hiking visit. They want these fields protected because they're making seeds for the next year. It's a no-drone zone. I thought this was an interesting one. I had not run into it. They were not a protected area for airspace reasons, but they're asking you to not use the airspace above the reserve for several reasons, including a visual threat to wildlife and intruding on visitors' experience. This one intrigued me, so I had to ask some questions. Because in my mind, if you've got a poppy cam, I thought, sure, I'm sure you've got drones and people are capturing this. You're not going to step on anything. You're not going to be off the trail. It seems like it wouldn't be invasive. The conversation I had made my head spin. The hawks can see the drones as a predator. I had never thought about it that way. Don't know if you've thought about it that way. I'm not sure what to think about that. But the hawks and the animals, when they see these drone shadows come across, there is a reaction that the animals have. The fight or flight kicks in, especially if you're a small rabbit or a small critter and you see what looks like a hawk shadow come across. I did not think about drones perhaps disrupting a natural flow of things. I saw them as non-invasive, non-threatening, something up and above. Different perspectives are these rules educating the population about what the reserves are protecting. And are they reserves or are they natural parks? And how are they setting that very fine balance? Then here comes the connections. One of my thoughts was a program that we've done a few years now, and I really enjoy, and I enjoy the results. The sunflower fields here in Maryland. And my mind started making connections. I hope you can see where we're going here. The poppy fields and the sunflower fields looking very similar. Although the sunflowers that we have in Maryland that everybody, a lot of us has seen pictures of, do not grow native. Types of sunflowers are native to Maryland, but not this particular variety that's often planted for pictures. Then the agritourism started hitting, and I did a search in California to see if the poppies had become an agritourist piece, because if the parks are being destroyed and the flowers are being destroyed by that perfect picture, people go into the off-trail areas to get that perfect Facebook picture, that perfect Instagram post, that once-in-a-lifetime. Is that being capitalized in an agritourism way, much like we do the sunflowers here in Maryland? We've interviewed several folks who have sunflower farms, and it's becoming more and more common to create it as an agritourism event or something that is included in a larger agritourism event here in Maryland. What I found in a search, when I looked at Maryland and sunflower farms, photo opportunities, I found a list of places that I could go and when I could go and when they were in season and which orchards, which farms, which maize. When I did the same search with poppies, I found one place that I could go in Southern California to do pictures or go through a commercial area that was designed for picture opportunity, that was designed for people to be there, and we're welcoming people in. And that made a big connection in my mind. I'm not sure if it's making a connection in yours or not. Is it because of land use? Is it because of who's able to have farms and who's actually actively farming? Is it because development has been different? Is it because it takes a specific area for these flowers to grow? Is it, so many is it started happening in my mind. And then this happened. Are they able to grow the poppies? Sunflowers feed birds, sunflower seeds, sunflower oil, nothing that could have heroin. And that set me off on a search. And I got to thinking, is this because poppies make opiates? And so I don't know if this made a connection in your mind, because farming is farming and agriculture is agriculture and heroin is an agricultural product. So let's go down this route for a minute. It does make a nice connection back. In 1942, there was a poppy act that went through that made, in the United States, the cultivation of the poppy illegal. Now, let's go back up a little bit here. The poppies that we are talking about, the California native poppy, the Acacia californiae, is not the Papaver sonifolium, that heroin that we know as a commercial product comes from. So they are in the same family, but they are very different. Did you know? If you've listened to Game of Thrones, you hear them talking about, or read the books Game of Thrones, you hear them talking about milk of the poppy. That when so-and-so was injured, they were taking the milk of the poppy. For the longest time, I thought they were talking milk of the puppy, but it was milk of the poppy. The reason they call it milk of the poppy, I thought this was interesting. In order to harvest the poppy milk, or the gum, the opiate gum, poppy is spread by seed, but they also have a bulb. So you take a razor and or a sharp device and you actually milk the poppy. You get the gum from the bulb of the poppy, and then there's a processing that happens to make heroin or opiates. Poppy seeds, and we talked about these poppies and these beautiful orange rivers coming down, do spread by seeds. And those seeds are very protected in those dry, arid areas so that they can lay dormant and then germinate when the conditions are right, which makes the years of the poppy blooms even more spectacular. Baked goods that use poppy seeds do create an opiate expression in urine. And a few years back, that was a big deal, and we all were talking about don't eat poppy seeds before you take a urinalysis. It is true that poppy seeds from the plants in that family do create an opiate expression, but it's not to the level that would be considered an opiate use. So the question I had was, could people grow the poppies for agritourism, much like we grow over the sunflowers here in Maryland? And the answer is yes, because they are not the opiate-producing plants. And according to H. Douglas Wenkel, former agent and of chief operations for the DEA, it's just a heck of a lot cheaper to import it than it is to make it, because it is, heroin is such a labor-intensive process that it's really not such a big issue at this point because of enforcement, as well as it's just labor-intensive and it's easier to import the powder. Wow. If we were in Southern California and we're looking at land use, these are some heck of a questions, the connections we're making today. The land use, videos, drones, if we cannot get out to the parks and recreations that are public, that we are supporting, where does the funding continue? And if the parks and recreation areas see themselves as reserves, which is part of their mission, to say no to their people coming in and collecting those fees makes an impact on their ability to continue. And is there a tourism piece of this for that perfect Facebook picture, as well as a place to enjoy and get that mental health peace of mind? Do you choose the area that you want to go to based on what you are looking for? Is that perfect picture and that event, or is it someplace to rest and relax and enjoy what Mother Nature has to offer? I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Raising Connections. We'll see you next week. Make some connections between.